Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And we had so much fun last week with Mary Ellen and I talking about different kinds of manifestations, different things, feathers, symbols, numbers, all the things that were happening in the universe, that I wanted to go into a few more things that have come up via emails of clients and also listeners. And that is the subject of orbs. I'm going to talk about a lot of different kinds of manifestations tonight. Please feel free to call in if you've had a dream, if you've had an orb experience, if you've had some other experience you want to ask or want to talk to me about. Please feel free to call in at 1:30. I'm going to take as many phone calls as we can get on the line, and that number is 877-876-5227. Worldwide. So I wanted to talk about orbs because Mary Ellen recently took a picture that has these most amazing orbs in that. So first I want to give you a little background about orbs and what they are and information about it. So when a materialization medium called C.V. Miller went to Europe in 1906, he visited in Germany and gave a number of seances and private sittings. And his materialization would often begin with these luminescent globes or orbs or clouds appearing near the ceiling. So a professor, Richard, witnessed this and started studying it and documenting it. And actually, I think, probably kind of coined the word orbs. And these white balls of gas often form, or energy, we determine now that it's more energy looking than gas, but in that time in the 1900s, they thought it was like gas lights, you know, how that they would have, where they would flare and have these little gaseous energies come off. So they were really comparing it to that. And so they would see these quarter of a yard in diameter appear in the air at an upper extremities, sometimes even in the ceilings, the curtains, but up towards the body of the medium. And then they would float and come down towards the floor or towards the person. And then they would sometimes take on different shapes. And sometimes it looked like the energy would come out of these orbs and help in the materialization process when you would see a spirit materialize. And so orbs have been around a long time. If you're watching the show Ghostbusters, or it's called Taps, I think, they talk about orbs are anomalies, or orbs are energies, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the place is haunted if you see orbs. It is unexplained energy. However, I believe, from my work, most of the time if you see big orbs, I mean, bigger than, you know, like bowling ball size or bigger, often they are acquainted with or connected to other kinds of manifestation that happens. So it's interesting to me that this study of orbs or manifestation of energy, balls of energy, has been around for a long, long time. In a book called Looking Back in the 1950s by medium Arthur Finley, he writes about seances with John Sloan as the lights that were around him and floated around him. And he's very well, actually, if you look at John Campbell Sloan, he was an incredible medium. He was what is called a direct voice medium. And he would have as many as 6 to 8 voices at a time in his seances. So there would be more than one voice going on. Obviously, that ruled out ventriloquism because as far as I know, there's no documented ventriloquist that can do 5 to 8 voices at a time. So this phenomena was very much around this particular medium. Another person that wrote a little bit about this this phenomena was also William Crookes. And he wrote some things about the trying to understand the difference in the diameters and what was happening. He really thought, he came from a scientific background, so he was really trying to understand how was this gas formed, how did it manifest, and what was its effect on people. Was it part of ectoplasm? I'm not sure whether he came to any real conclusion. Everything that I read was really about documentation more and trying to come to some kind of understanding about how the energy built up. And I did find a little research about that one particular person William Stanton Moses, who was also a medium, who had a lot of orb activity, his theory was that it was a buildup of electromagnetic energy, much as if you walked across a carpet and built up static, and it would form, you know, and if you touch a metal, you get that little zap light there. So he felt it was another form of, like, energy that builds up, like, even in a thunderstorm, but at a minute level, which would be a lower vibration. So therefore, it built up these small orbs, and then if it built up into a big orb, the bowling ball size or bigger, then that helped collect the energy from people that were sitting in a seance to have a full-blown manifestation and use ectoplasm, like it activated or charged or worked as a battery on the ectoplasm when there was a full-blown body manifestation. So I find it really interesting, and I've been kind of looking into this because there's just some very extremely amazing orbs in this picture, in particular that Mary Ellen took, that we will have on our website. But if you go on some websites, like the NSAC website does have a phenomena department, and they have some orb pictures, and they'll talk about their version of what an orb is too. So if you're getting pictures with orbs in them, you know, balls of energy, balls of light, it's very, very interesting. And I'm teaching a class out at Milton Spiritualist Church Camp, and so part of my class, I thought, let's try and take some pictures of orbs. So I actually am having my class work on taking, first of all, some pictures to see if we can build up the energy and have the phenomena of orbs, and then I want to see if we can actually affect those orbs, like move the energy of the orbs, because we all are vibration and energy, so we should be able to have some kind of effect on these orbs, or have a sense of this, being able to use it with our electromagnetic energy, just like someone who has passed over and who is on the other side can move things with their electromagnetic energy. If you remember the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, you remember he tried to move the penny, and he had to go back to Subway and be taught how to move with his energy and his mind, because our consciousness goes with us, which is also a vibration and energy. So there's this whole interesting phenomena that, you know, next time you get the opportunity, see if you can capture some orbs. And you can capture them quite often at a place that is haunted. The energy seems to be built up. And I know a lot of people actually go to cemeteries and different places trying to catch this phenomena. But I have seen it caught in broad daylight in not those kinds of situations. So I think if you're working with a spiritual group, it would be interesting to see if you can see energy orbs or take pictures with in your study groups or your groups that you formed, and, you know, whether it's whatever kind of metaphysical group it may be, and see if you can catch some of this orb activity. I have not seen if anybody can catch orbs with infrared or not, or if anyone has seen orbs when a Keelian photography is done. So I don't know about that. That would be a fascinating another avenue to do research on. So it appears that this energy builds up and is somewhat used like a battery. So sometimes you'll see small orbs around people. I notice that people who meditate a lot, I'll see more of that kind of energy around them. I don't know if it's that they just build that up in their auric field. So there's a lot of fascinating studies yet to be done on this phenomena. So if you're adventuring into metaphysics and you want to have another adventure, look into that. And again, try and check our website. I don't know that she has it up there yet, but it's certainly a fun picture to look at. And people will say, you know, it's dust in the lens. It's things being blown up or stirred up when you're taking pictures. But often when you do this, the pictures before and the pictures after, which are snapped like in a row, they won't be in those other pictures. So if that was true, then the dust, you know, people click pretty fast, and the dust was still being kicked up, you would think the light and the refraction and everything would be in like multi-series of pictures, and sometimes it's only in one picture, and it won't be on either picture on either side. So it's a really interesting phenomena. So when I talk about orbs, and we talk about that, you know, materialization comes with this experience often of orbs, then we have to talk about manifestation and materialization here. So materialization and manifestation is something that has been brought into form and made evident to the senses. So one of the best known examples of materialization is given actually in the Bible in Matthew 17, and was when two long deceased men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in solid form in front of Jesus and three apostles. So this materialization is, you know, certainly documented in many, many religions and many belief systems. And in spiritualist seances, they often talk about the appearance of a spirit, frequently through the use of ectoplasm, which I'll discuss in a few minutes. So this usually is excreted through the pores or the energies, mainly the solar plex of the medium. So I'm going to talk about that for a minute because you have to know one to find out the other. Isn't that interesting? So ectoplasm, the word ectoplasm was coined in 1894 by Charles Richet again. He was a fierce, person who studied, had a scientific background and really studied metaphysics and spiritualism of the day and mediumship, and was very, very involved in trying to document a lot of things. And so he coined this word ectoplasm, and it has been described as a spiritual counterpart to protoplasm. So I had to look at protoplasm because I'd been out of school a long time. So I found that interesting. And my guide kept saying it's actually formed from our cellular structure. So when I looked up protoplasm, sure enough, it says here the contents of a living cell, including the nucleus and the septoplasm. So ectoplasm does come from a forming of use of the energy, and if you study cells actually discharge a small electrical discharge in each cell of our body and in cells of everything that's made up in the universe. So so this interesting little, all those little electric shocks that seem to be in every part of us, you know, make up our vibration. So this ectoplasm, as I've been studying it more and more and trying to understand exactly what it is and isn't, it is excreted from the medium as well as usually the sitters in a seance. So if you were in a seance or in a group, it would be not just you. It would be you and the medium. Now, from what I can find about this, though, it forms usually from the solar plex and comes out, and that solar plex is like in the center of your body. Although in a lot of 1800 pictures and things that you'll see it coming out of people's nose, their eyes, their ears, their mouth, I mean, and it often looks like cheesecloth. I think some of the photos that you'll see probably were cheesecloth and probably were fraud, and some of them are not. If you've ever gotten the opportunity to see ectoplasm form, I did. I was very fortunate to go to David LeBaron. Is an incredible medium, been doing it about 50 or 60 years. And I got to see it form, and even when it was forming, I was questioning. I was like, do you see that? Please tell me you see that, you guys. And it really, to me, formed exactly as if you were watching a cloud form. It became a mist, like a fog in the room, in a total black room. And I didn't know till later, you're not supposed to touch it. Don't touch it. If you get to see ectoplasm, don't touch it. That's the rule. And the reason for that rule is that it's formed from the cellular energy of your bodies and the people involved in the experience. And when it's done, when it starts to dissipate, it goes back in the body. So if you have added or disturbed the vibration, it can actually be physically harming to the medium. And so don't touch the ectoplasm. And you can't say you didn't know because I just told you. But at the time, I really didn't know, and I did touch it, and it felt like wet cobwebs. It has a very strange feel to it. And I apologize because, you know what, the truth is, it's going to be your first instinct is to want to experience it and touch it, but it really is not good to do that to someone because that energy does have to go back into the body. And certainly from most mediums that I've talked to that have done this a lot longer than me as far as going into trance and things, it can have adverse effects on them. So this ectoplasm is amazing things. It is what then becomes a full-blown materialization, and you will see like a body form. Sometimes you'll see hands form, faces form, as if from this little cloud that happens. My understanding is that ectoplasm is the main substance of materializations at a seance. And when I say it's, you know, materializations. That means the full body manifestations or physical manifestation. It is also part of what is used for the larynx and the throat being manifest in etheric form for disembodied spirits to speak through. It is also can be extruded from the medium's body and then sent out and to support a trumpet if you're in a trumpet mediumship where you're seeing a trumpet raised in the air, which is a cone-shaped cylinder made out of aluminum, and they're very light, so it's not like a megaphone from Rudy Valley days. So it's very fascinating that this, you know, ectoplasm, this whole orb energy, it's almost like the orbs appear to be batteries and help to hold that energy for the ectoplasm to happen, I think is very, very interesting. When I was looking into this more, they also talk about that often when this ectoplasm happens, you will smell almost like ozone in the air, a light smell of that. There's a wonderful book written by Harry Edwards on the mediumship of Jack Weber, who is a person who did took a lot of infrared photos and other photos of ectoplasm. He's been extensively studied by the British SRO group. So there's a lot of information on ectoplasm, which makes it interesting. There are also quite a few photos when you want to start studying and looking into this. Some was done with infrared film, and others that were just taken, and you'll see this. I actually had someone from Florida send me some photos, and that she wanted to know my take on them. And it was photos of an accident scene. Her son had been in an accident in a particular place, and these misty clouds had formed. And she took it in. You could see it in the trees. It's like amazing. Well, there was nobody burning, so it wasn't smoke. It was a beautiful day. It was no reason to have clouds or anything there. So my take from there from Dom was that there had been other accidents there where there were fatalities, and this was ectoplasm. This was energy residue from someone who has passed and kind of stuck into that area where they have not perhaps moved on all the way. I don't even really think it's a total haunting. It's just that perhaps because her son had the accident, it jarred the memory, and then that entity decided to come back to try and communicate. So I think that happens sometimes. Now, I have a lot of questions on this ectoplasm thing in a way, because I'm confused about ectoplasm manifesting a full-blown materialization where people are present, you know, our physical bodies are present, to manifest that energy, and hauntings when we see an apparition or a ghost. So when I had that, I said, okay, what's the difference? You know, if there's nobody there, human-wise, then where are they getting the ectoplasm or the energy to form these manifestations of physical form or ghost-like shapes? So I had to call a lot of people and get their version of the truth, and then I mixed it with my version of Dom, and I came up with a couple ideas. That sometimes we see hauntings and we see ghost apparitions, and that is that if it's in a house and somebody's living there, of course, again, we're back to the ectoplasm and the orbs and the energy that is used because they're feeding off the human beings that are living there. So at some level, our human interaction is help aiding like a battery for the manifestation that's happening in the home or the haunted place if there's human inhabitants. If there is not human inhabitants, say you're going and you're studying a building that nobody's in, most of the time, then again we go back to the orbs or cellular memory that's left in objects that are there. So we go in a way to psychometry, that everything holds energy, and metal in particularly holds energy. So if you watch the TAPS guys where they go off to some of these prisons, some of these different places, and these have these hauntings, then and they have a manifestation where a chair moves or they actually see an apparition. Often when they film there, they do see orbs too, so that is a buildup of energy in some form. So it's really a fascinating subject, and it's kind of confusion. It's sort of like a chicken or the egg kind of thing, you know, which came first. You know, so everything's energy, so I have to say energy comes first, and then the manifestation of how – spirit on the other side, or quote-unquote ghosts, manifest that to use it to get our attention or to be filmed or to, you know, move objects, that happens. If it's in a place where, you know, we're involved, say you've lost someone and you're asking for, you know, you're talking to whoever's passed over, then you get into, you have a personal connection, you're building up energy because you have the want, the desire, and then you're also pulling on all the energy of around that person. If you're in their home still, there's energy built up, that's their energy. And so it becomes this interesting battery situation where you start getting the flow of things that just the subject's so fascinating because it can go on and on. So this whole materialization and ectoplasm go hand in hand, and certainly there are different kinds of materialization. We talked a few minutes about the physical manifestations and how ectoplasm is used, and it's called a physical mediumship. And it was very much in the 1900s we saw a lot of that, where mediums would have full-body manifestations, sometimes of their guides and sometimes of people who had passed over. There's actually back in the museum at Lilydale, they, I believe, have a cast of a hand that materialized and was dipped in wax. And there was no way that the hand could be pulled out without, of course, busting the wax. So, you know, it's really assumed that that's actually not just a fraud, that it was obviously a ectoplasm, a materialization of a hand that was then dipped in the wax and then removed from the wax, and it's still in a perfect form. So that's kind of exciting to get the opportunity to check that out if you're out back in that area. So materialization, the other forms of materialization are also things that are manifest or moved. Aports are manifestations that I think are very interesting. And those are things that appear, objects that appear. So there's more than one kind of object that can appear throughout different kinds of seances or I think, you know, it happens not just in seances, because when I say the word seance, everybody thinks of sitting in the dark holding hands and in, you know, a seance from the TV. Or if you're in spiritualism, then you think of the in dark seances. But certainly there are daylight, many, many mediums that work in the daylight and have daylight seances, and or I've even heard this happening in study groups. So incredible artist and gifted person, Mary Elena, sat in a circle 8 years, and she said one of the manifestations that they used to have is rose petals would just rain down on them. They had sat in this, so for 8 years they had been a set group who had sat in seance. So they would actually have sort of a mist form near the ceiling, and rose petals would rain down, and, you know, they'd be real rose petals. So that's sort of a form of aport. Aports are apports, it's a French word, meaning to bring. In spiritualism, an apport is something that has been brought into the seance room by spirit. Usually a spirit guide or of the mediums makes this manifest. It appears out of thin air, and it is sometimes initially hot to the touch or warm to the touch. When they talk about it, usually it's like dematerializes or goes into a gas or liquid form, and then comes into the room and then is made in solid form. And so it's very fascinating. I also know that when these objects appear and say they drop onto the floor or they drop onto a table, they don't bounce. They just go thud, kind of flat-like. It's very interesting to experience. It appears out of thin air, and it is sometimes initially hot. It's like I've also had them where they actually feel very cold, too, so I'm not sure why that happened. I've had one experience of that. And it's a form of almost teleporting things as well, because people have requested certain things and had them appear from their home and brought into the seance room. More of this manifestation happened. A lot you would hear about it in the 1800s, but I know it also still happens today, because I was talking to someone who is involved with a British medium and has seen this absolutely happen. And David LeBaron has had actual aports happen, like stones and different kinds of metallic and material things. So, but there's some really well-known cases. In the case of Esperanto Catalando, I can never pronounce her name very well, she actually, in 1890, had a full lily. And if you have seen daylilies, they're incredible, beautiful lilies. They're blooming right now. It's like blue. They're like a tiger lily, only they're pink, very big, and I hope I have the right species as I'm talking. She actually manifested one, had it appear in her living in a pot and all, manifest it on the table of her seance table, and it was as tall as her, about 5 feet. It was amazing manifestation. So there's been usually it's like it can be spoons, it can be all kinds of things, can be jewelry, natural stones, but in the 1800s also I did read where they actually had like rabbits appear, and not out of a hat, and animals actually, you know, had an animal appear in the seance rooms, turtles, live birds, eggs, absolutely. And these were in Charles Bailey did a lot. He was an Australian medium, and he is known for so many apports and things appearing like human skulls, things out of the sea dripping with salt water. Just a phenomenal documentation was done on him, and he was really studied by Thomas Walton Stanford, and some of his apports are actually in Stanford University in California, and they really like checked out the room. This is not someone that was, you know, ever caught in fraud or any of that. So this is kind of interesting. How do these things appear? So if you've ever had experience, like, call in again if you have seen ectoplasm or clouds in a picture or orbs in your picture. You have questions about something that you've experienced in your life, an angel encounter, a spiritual encounter you want to know, or you have a question, call in today at 877-876-5227. If you have some pictures or things like that and you want us to kind of look at them and see what Spirit says about them too, you can email us. Check our website at www.angelscribe.com, or, of course, you can also reach us by going to bbsradio.com and finding our link. So this whole experience of all these kinds of manifestations, I think they are still happening, although we don't hear as much about them. I think that people are much more quiet about it, a little reserved, because certainly they're, you know, you're taken to task so often, you know, that we are so unbelieving. But, you know, really, you've got to know that Gary Swartz in the University of Arizona is really trying to disprove a lot of the fraud and the garbage out there. He's really studying mediums now with a great scientific point of view, and really bringing in experts, studying them in labs, studying this different kinds of mediumship phenomena, again, with a passion like many of the scientists in the early 1800s, which had such limited ways of studying. Really, it's only in the last few centuries that we have really got the, you know, technology now to really experience and shoot things with cameras and infrared cameras, and use meters to notice if there's a change in the electromagnetic field. So we have so much more tools that we can really experience this information. And so, you know, certainly look into this collection of Charles Bailey's apports and stuff if you get the chance, if you're in California, and you can look into Stanford University of California. It's so worth looking into the history of this metaphysics that are really starting to come back into the eye of the public, and people are asking more questions now. We're open-minded more, and we're in search of in a way that's, you know, probably not made fun of or fought so much religiously. And so these groups that are now studying and experiencing some of this phenomena, I encourage you to, you know, keep documenting it, sharing it with other groups that are documenting it. And I believe one reason that we haven't seen the kind of phenomena that we used to see in seances and things in the 1800s and much more things like that. So we're still disrupted by TV. You know, we always have so much woulda, shoulda, coulda stuff to do that I don't think we sit quietly in small groups and put the effort in to do what we do. I mean, we always can justify why we can't go to that meeting or we can't, you know, spend an hour or 2 hours in a committed circle, sitting in the dark, or waiting for spirit to manifest, waiting for the energy to build, waiting for people to become in harmony, to build up the battery, to build up the energy, to have the phenomena. We're such an just add water society anymore, so it disturbs the world. We get you know, kind of off track. But I know a lot of people get photos, like I was talking about earlier, of my friend whose son had a car accident in that area. I had another client who sent me some photos where her son had been killed and had all kinds of distortion in all the pictures that were taken at that site. There was a purple shining light that couldn't be explained. There was a smoke-like energy, again, that cloud-like energy, which I would say was ectoplasm, that was formed around some trees that should not have been there. That wasn't like it was a swamp. It wasn't like it was, you know, it was a beautiful sunshiny day. Energy around actually the area of the actual accident. So this phenomena happens, I think, quite often in places where the physical body has left a residue or left an imprint. There's a scientific study, and I wish I could tell you which university. I can't remember for the life of me. If someone out there knows this and has heard of this study, please email me. There was a study done where they actually weighed people at the moment of their passing. And when they found out when the person passed, there's absolutely a 6 to 8 ounce difference in the physical body. So when that energy leaves the body, and is that our soul, or does our soul or consciousness weigh 6 to 8 ounces? What is the electromagnetic happening at that moment of death when that energy leaves the body? Is there a, you know, like an electromagnetic happening? A discharge of energy happens. When we look at the Shroud of Turin, we have to wonder about that because we have this impression of, quote-unquote, Jesus on the shroud. Whether it's Jesus or not, there certainly is an impression on that shroud that's pretty unexplainable to most people. And even though it's been scientifically studied, you know, when they talk about it, they talk about that there's been an electromagnetic or energetic reaction that caused a chemical reaction, which left this imprint on that cloth. So it's very fascinating, all these things, to study, to ask questions, to, you know, look into. There's just, I think you could study forever and still not know all the things about metaphysics that are just so very fascinating. The interesting thing that I found about when Mary Ellen took this picture the other night, I have seen a lot of orbs in my years of studying this. Usually they're about the size of maybe a little bigger than a baseball to the bowling ball size. The ones Mary Ellen caught are quite large. And they also appear to have almost like a kaleidoscope pattern in them or a energy pattern in them that looks like you maybe threw snowflakes in them. And it was interesting because Mary Ellen called me to talk about this, and I said, could you call me back? I'm in the midst of watching taps, and they were shooting at a particular place that had this similar orb-like energy. And I had it was actually a sanitarium where something like 60,000 people had died, a lot with tuberculosis and things. And so they had these orbs. Now, in this documentary and show that was on about it, these orbs had that same pattern, and I was fascinated by it because I'd never seen that kind of almost chalky-like, lace-looking work in an orb. Usually they're very opaque. You may see a light through them. They're very, you know, shiny, bubble-like. They're very fascinating, almost like looking through an opaque light bulb with a light shining in behind the light bulb. But in this particular one, it had that snowflake effect. And then, of course, when I opened the email in there with Mary Ellen's, here was that same snowflake. And I thought, how odd that within 24 hours I would see two of the same kind of phenomena, and yet I'd never seen it in my whole life before. So I'm not sure exactly why the difference in that or what it has to do. We're still trying to analyze the photo, by the way. It was caught. She took them in. She was on a site for at a fire, and the building was over 100 years old, and behind the building was a church. So we're still trying to figure out the phenomena on that one. So if somebody knows about why an orb would have lace-looking information in the center of it versus the opaque look, I'm open to knowing anything about that. Again, our call-in number is 877-876-5227 worldwide from anywhere. And so other phenomena that people talk about that you don't see very much anymore is actual slate writing. Then that was a phenomena also kind of from the 18 to 1900s where they would put a piece of loose chalk in between two slates like, you know, kids used to write on to go to school and tie them together and then spirit would write on it. So it's another kind of form of automatic writing that happened. And then there's also the Bang sisters who actually had amazing things happen where paintings appeared. Like they would put a canvas up and they would have the seance and in a very few minutes a painting would appear. They would have paints, but it would be appear on the canvas. Not necessarily that the brushes would be used, but that it would be as if somebody painted things. And some of these, again, are on display at Lilydale. So there's a lot of fascinating manifestations out there that can't be explained. I know other people that have had things where they'll wake up, and I had a friend of mine who kept her journal by her bed. You know, she had a dream. She could get up and write her dream down. And one day she called me all, like, frantic because there had been a drawing on her pad the next morning, and she says, I know I didn't do it in my sleep. I don't know anything about this. Where did this come from? And I said, well, you know, if you keep practicing, spirit's going to provide something. And so I just believe it was a spirit writing, a spirit drawing. And I think it happens all the time. I know Ruth Montgomery was really well known for automatic writing, and that is where you get still and quiet and rest your hand on a piece of paper with a pencil, or sometimes they used to use a planchette, which is a actual wood-shaped thing where you just set the pencil in it, and then you would just rest your hand on top of that, and you would get writings from spirit. So there's incredible amount of phenomena that goes on. And I can't believe no one's calling in. I know everybody out there's had some kind of phenomena. Because I have had so many people send me pictures where they have some kind of phenomena show up, where they have, like, the orbs, or they'll have rods, which I think kind of now has been kind of scientifically proved that the little rods are an energy form that had not been able to be documented, but now they have a way of documenting that it's an energy kind of thing that's produced when energy... energy connects to something and it gives a discharge, and they believe the rods are a manifestation of the discharge of the energy. I don't know if that's truly been all the way documented, but it certainly is part of research that's going on. So the other thing that I guess I should talk about is EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. That is a whole show in itself. I'm just going to talk about it for shortly. I am hoping to interview someone who does electronic voice phenomena because it's a fascinating, fascinating science. I don't even know what to call it because it's so amazing and I don't think we even understand it all the way. And that is where you take a tape recorder you buy at Radio Shack. You can buy a tape recorder anywhere. And you take the tape recorder and you take a tape and you go somewhere and you talk to spirit. You can ask questions. You go to a haunted house that you think is haunted, or you go to, you know, some people do it in cemeteries. But you won't hear anything, but if you're with a medium, sometimes everybody hears things. But you can go there, and you will tape, and you'll ask questions, and you won't hear anything. But when you come, bring it back, and you play it, you'll hear voices on it. You'll hear answers sometimes to your questions. So that kind of manifestation goes on as well. Another manifestation that happens that was happened in the 1800s as well, you hear a little bit about it now, and it is also part of what we were talking about earlier with the ectoplasm being used to manifest lifting the trumpet. But I also think that when the trumpets are lifted in seances sometimes, it really is a form of levitation. So I would assume, again, then, that the ectoplasm is also used in levitation. Now, D.D.H. Daniel Douglas Home, he was the most documented and well-known person for levitation. He was seen levitating many, many times. He was born in Scotland, and he traveled all over, actually, Europe and as well as to the United States, and was studied and documented quite heavily. He really was a person who was most famous because he actually levitated horizontally out a window in front of people and came out out the window. I think the building was two or three stories high, and then came in, floating in trance in the opposite window in the next room. And there were several well-known people in the room, so he was documented and checked out for fraud. So it was quite an interesting manifestation. And he really tended to levitate a lot in his trances, as well as levitating objects in the room, many, many different kinds of objects, trumpets, musical instruments, just all kinds of things could be levitated. And so he was quite heavily documented about that. I also think because when you study Buddhism and a lot of things where people are in deep trance or meditation like monks, you'll hear about where they levitate. I don't think levitation is a new thing. It's been around a long, long time. Then, of course, you're going to hear all the magicians in the world are going to tell you how that's done, and certainly you have to be a skeptic and check it out, ask lots of questions, go into it, and try experimenting, but try levitating. I also think it's psychic kinetic energy, and because you do get the opportunity to read and look into some of the things that were done in the connected with the Iron Curtain. There were a lot of mediums studied in Russia and over in that area, in Germany, Russia, and Europe, and some of them have really, there's wonderful actual film documentation in black and white where they moved with their electromagnetic energy pencils or empty cigar containers and just amazing things. So there's things, and it's interesting to try it. I think I've seen a couple people do it. Certainly Uri Geller, bent spoons and fixed watches. So that's another way of using that electromagnetic energy or psyche thing. And also I think perhaps even ectoplasm must be part of that whole process as well, because you have to extend your energy quite a bit to start affecting people in their homes. When Uri Geller would do his spoon bending and key bending, you know, in the audience, people's keys would even bend in their pocket, but people at home from the TV, watching the TV, would bend. And so that's another way of really extending our psychic or clairvoyant energies. And everything is energy. Everything is vibration. So it makes sense that all this is connected. And once we understand how to master our thoughts, how to pay attention to our electromagnetic energy, and how we use our vibration, then everything becomes connected. You know, that for every action, there's a reaction. So we start really knowing that we are affecting things. In fact, you ask a scientist about double-blind experiments, and he will tell you that usually they do double-blind experiments because they have found out that the human mind has impact on the experiment. And so human thought obviously can affect the outcome, and that's why they'll do several different kinds of double-blind before they approve an experiment and say, you know, it's valid. So there's so many interesting phenomena that we're all studying, that now we have better science to study it. There are new groups forming to study all of this kind of stuff. So there's just a world of knowledge to be gained by watching, asking, you know, learning different techniques, studying in groups. That's one reason I really encourage a lot of people to work in small groups and study groups to study and practice things. I also think another part of metaphysics and these kinds of things that we've been talking about that happen is scrying. I think scrying has been around for a long time, and that is looking into a shiny object or water. People used to kind of do it. I think everybody does that. It's a form of meditation in a way, too. I know I've caught myself looking in the flames of a fire and just being gone, looking out a window or looking in a mirror, and you start seeing beyond. It's sort of like you look, and you look beyond, and as you're looking beyond, and you're kind of spaced out, then you start to see other things in that mirror. You start to see a manifestation of other things. So it's almost like that getting lost in that gazing or that looking, and I think it's just that the reflective surface gives a good medium for the energy to be reflected or shown to you. And so that's why, you know, in ancient times they scryed in water, or they, the Oracle of Delphi actually set where there were mist, chemical mist came up through the fissures in the bottom of the Delphi temple is what they say, and then it helped induce trance, and then the mist would, she would have visions in the mist. So there's all this techniques that one can try. You know, try using a mirror or a shiny surface to experience seeing beyond it, but it, you do, it is like a meditative trance state where you just keep kind of looking until you're lost in space and gone beyond, and you start getting the opportunity to experience that trance-like state that happens. Every kid's done it, because if you sat in a schoolroom and got bored with the teacher, you have eventually gone beyond that experience. So the other thing that you can try is psychometry. Psychometry is actually taking an object and experiencing the energy or the residue left on that object by the person who may have owned it. If you watch Psychic Detective, which is a great, again, something on TV to watch, Psychic Detective, they will talk about psychometry, and they use objects. They will take something from the murder scene, and they will actually hold it and actually tune into the energy residue that is left on that object. And you get a sense of often it triggers, as if you're watching a black and white movie, of what's gone down, the incidents. For many, many mediums, it'll be like a trigger of seeing, you know, what has happened to this person, where they are, the things that unfolded in their demise. Sometimes if you buy something from an antique store, you'll have a sense about the person. You'll have you may have dreams. Some people have dreams about the person that owned the object or the sense of that experience before, that the person owned it before and stuff. So it's a really interesting way, and it's something that you can practice in small groups and at things in your house that you have people come to, just to get a real sense of that energy is never destroyed. It is attached to things. And so that experience can, you know, trigger things. You can get actually a lot of information off of, in particularly metal, but plastic doesn't seem to hold it so much. It's just not the same way. I think it's because it doesn't have as, however the molecules are arranged, I don't know, they just don't seem to absorb things as much. But certainly metal things, jewelry, rings, watches, keys. Keys are a little muddled because people usually mix several different kinds of things together in their pockets with their keys. But you'll get a sense of something. So it's a wonderful thing to practice. So really what we're talking about today is different kinds of things that one can experience in metaphysics, phenomena that happens, the orbs, the ectoplasm, the materializations. One of the things I was curious about, too, when I started going into the subject so I could share it with you today was, you know, okay, so if the energy orbs, the orbs are used to help hold energy so that a haunting can happen, and or the building, say the building has metal in it, that absorbs things and then you have a haunting. What about when an angel manifests? What energy are they using? Are they using ectoplasm? Are they using...
We have a caller.
Oh, great.
I'll put them on.
Okay.
Take a few seconds, about
thanks.
10.
So I was confused about that. When I asked Dom about that, they said, no, that the energy from the to manifest an angelic encounter is different, and it's used from the etheric realm, not usually from the physical realm, although they say they do gather some energy to affect our eyes to see that manifestation of an angel. So sometimes I think that they still draw on, but it's a balancing thing, and it's a less of a ectoplasm thing with angels. That's what my understanding is. So if anybody else has input, I'm open to hearing it. Hello.
Hello, Atira.
Hello.
This is Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis, darling.
Hi. I received an A-port at David LeBaron's the very first time I've ever been to a circle like that.
And David LeBaron's circle was in the dark, correct?
Right, right.
And it usually has, he usually does it in the dark and has like a little red light. You can see just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was your A-port? Tell me about it.
It's a funny looking little animal. It looks maybe like a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the reason I received this is because I've taken so many animals in.
Yeah, spirit will rat on you, Phyllis.
Yeah.
That's cool. That is great.
Is it
ceramic? Is it a ceramic thing?
It's almost like a light-colored jade.
Wow, so it's actually like out of a stone.
Uh-huh, it's
That's
a stone.
Amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so tell me, what was your experience, you know, when you went to your first...
At that same... my guides came through and gave me greetings, and it was shortly after my daughter had passed, and she started to materialize. The people in the room could see it, but I was so green, I didn't know where to look or anything, so I really can't say that I myself saw it, but they told me where to look, and they said for the first time she did really good.
That's great. You know, and it's true, Phyllis, that when you first go to your first seance in the dark, it's, you know, first of all, you're a skeptic and you check it all out.
Right.
Second
right.
of all, you don't know all the protocol, and it takes time to adjust because you're nervous. I found myself very nervous, and I've done lots of woo. You know, I don't get nervous too easily, but it was just because the environment was different.
It's very different. You don't know what to expect.
And your expectations are like, you don't want them too high because you don't want to be disappointed, and yet you don't want to not expect something either because it's part of asking spirit to manifest.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it takes time to set with a group that you're comfortable with, that your energy becomes harmony with, and also your eyes adjust. But that's pretty amazing. Your first seance, you get a port and a manifestation.
And a lot of people got a ports that night, but, I mean, they didn't even know me, you know?
Right, right.
Why would I get one?
But the thing is, the people in the room didn't know you, and David might not have known you, but, all your relatives and friends and people on the other, your angels, guides, and masters, and your daughter on the other side, they know you, hon.
Absolutely.
And they know how precious you are. You're so precious to me. I just value, actually, your friendship and sharing all of this with us. You've also had a lot of 444s, haven't you?
I'm sorry?
You've had a lot of 444 experiences?
Oh, I get them all the time. In fact, I just looked at the clock a little bit ago, and here it was 444.
Yeah, that angel numbers, yeah.
1111s and 111s a lot.
Yeah, it's all the way that spirit tries to communicate us. Communicate with us. You know, we are so blessed that, you know, there's so many forms to get our attention because, you know, we tend to yeah.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, but could you, you know, make it a little bigger and better? You know, pretty soon they're painting billboards for us.
But I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you so much for sharing about your A-port, Phyllis. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye, darling.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's very exciting, too, when you get an A-port because it's so... they're all amazing. I mean, I've seen, like, at David's seances, I've seen several people come out with just different kinds of things. You know, I'm trying to get him to send me Shankari jewelry because I really like it. But I guess you can't be too picky when you're just asking spirit for manifestations. But, you know, if they dropped a little Shankari jewelry in my my opportunity of A-ports, I wouldn't mind at all. But when I was a kid, I can remember actually... mist would form in our ceiling, and rocks would fall out of it and hit the floor. They wouldn't bounce. They just thud. And my mother used to just get so upset at the thing, you know, we were bringing these rocks in and stuff. And I remember she would get so upset. And one day, she was kind of chastising me and my brother about, you know, these rocks, and she's tired of these rocks in here. And right in front of her, a mist formed, and out of that came a little watch and a little teeny ring. And my mother never said a word about that after that. She never said a word. She pretended it never happened. I tried to ask her about it, and it was like, don't ever bring that up. You know, it was just like, boom. Okay, it's not you guys bringing the rocks in, but don't let it happen. And don't talk about it. And I can remember, I knew it upset her so much. I mean, I really asked my guide. I said, Dom, please don't do that anymore. Let's not have that happen anymore. Because I knew my mom was so upset, and I knew I was getting sort of in trouble for it. So, you know, as kids, we're very innocent. We try to stop things that are frightening to anybody and everybody that's around us. So I have so enjoyed talking about this subject tonight, and I hope today that you have got the opportunity to learn some things. And I know sometimes I think I give you more questions than the answers, because the more you ask and learn and get knowledge, the more questions form, because, well, if that's that, what is this, you know? And it's wonderful, because that makes us go in search of. We all get more educated, and as we become more educated in metaphysics and spiritual matters, more things manifest, because spirit wants us to have experiences of manifestation in many, many forms. If you ask your angels, guides, and masters to work with you, it's a great experience. It opens so many doors. And really, to manifest metaphysics and spiritual studies, to manifest mediumship or psychic ability, is to be of service to someone and to yourself and to spirit. Because as you ask, dear God, Goddess, all it is, divine spirit, insert your favorite deity, as you ask to be a vehicle to spirit in some form, they will bring that energy around to absolutely start facilitating that, so that you can be of service to spirit on the other side, as well as the spirits here and people here. And it is a great life adventure. You will never regret it, because the universe is so abundant and so full of love and so full of wanting to share and help you understand that you're a spark of God, and that you continue beyond this mere short span of life that we experience here. For people who have lost loved ones, please know that they will try and communicate with you. They will wrap, they will move things, they love to ring phones, they love to affect electromagnetic energy. In fact, Don and I were just discussing, because as we were talking before the show, the phone started going wacky, and I'm going, oh, Don, it's your phone, please tell me it's your phone, not me. And he said, well, we go through one a month, and I go, you know, it's like every metaphysical radio show he was telling me, almost everyone he's talked to, they all have phone problems. And again, I think it's how we extend our energy out. We start affecting all that electromagnetic energy and the wiring of phones, and then we get static and troubles. John Edwards talked about his microphone. So certainly, you know, everything is energy. So practice turning on street lights and turning them off. Enjoy your metaphysics. Make it part of who you really are. Experience it. Play with it with great joy. Spirit is playful. Spirit loves you and wants you to have some of these wonderful experiences. So pick a place, ask for orbs to appear, and see what kinds of experiences you have. Again, call in your angels, your guides, protect yourself, and just experience the beauty of spirit. So until we meet again, make sure you let your heart light shine to light your way and the way for others, and stay wrapped in the wings of angels. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.